Welcome to Faith and Family. I'm your host, Andy Bates. Glad to be with you this Religious Freedom Day. January 16th is a day of religious freedom in the United States. And today we are going to talk about that. Our first guest up is Tim Gegline. He's Vice President for External Relations with the focus on the family. And I hope you can join us for that conversation. We'll also talk with some staff here at the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. We're going to talk with David Yao, Director of Public Relations, and Barbara Below with the Office of the President. She's Assistant to the President of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, about some of the resources available to you for taking a stand for religious freedom. So I hope you can join us for that conversation. And in the last segment, we'll talk with Eric Stanley, Senior Legal Counsel and Director of Church Project at Alliance Defending Freedom. Hope you can join us for all of these conversations today as we celebrate religious freedom today and then discuss it. Thanks to our underwriter, Concordia University Wisconsin, for supporting this program. You can find out more about Concordia University Wisconsin on our website. Go to KFUO.org. Look for the CUW logo in the sponsor section there, and that'll take you to their page. You can find out more about Concordia University Wisconsin, a great friend and underwriter of Faith and Family here at Worldwide KFUO. Joining us by phone today, Tim Gegline, Vice President for External Relations at Focus on the Family. Good morning, Tim.
Good morning. Thank you so much for having me.
It's good to have you back on Faith and Family. Tim, tell us about your past and present work in media and how that relates to religious liberty.
You bet. Well, I came to Washington in the summer of 1985 as an intern for then U.S. Senator Dan Quayle, who went on to become Vice President of the United States under George H.W. Bush. And there was an intern for Dan Coats, then in the House in the summer of 86. And then when Dan Coats went to the United States Senate, following Dan Quayle, I was with Senator Coats, you know, for the entire time that he was in the Senate the first time, which was a long time, you know, over a decade. And I mention all of that, Andy, because, you know, Dan Quayle was a well-known Christian. He was not outspoken about his faith as much in those days, but he was a man of faith. As is and was Marilyn Quayle. And, of course, Dan Coats, then and now, one of the most prominent men in public life as an evangelical Christian and a rather extraordinary man. In all the years that I was an intern for Dan Quayle and Dan Coats, and in a long, you know, tenure in the U.S. Senate, as a press secretary, as a communications manager, before then, I had been a television producer for the NBC affiliate in my hometown, and as an intern at NBC News here in Washington. During all of that professional experience, and as a Christian, the idea or the debate of religious liberty or rights of conscience had never come up as an issue. It's not that people, you know, were not concerned about someone's free speech or the ability to express an opinion, you know, that certainly was in the mix. But the whole idea that there would be large full-time organizations working overtime to crack down on Christians' constitutional rights of expression and frankly constitutional rights of thought was really unheard of. And, you know, if what I'm describing to you had been, you know, 500 years ago, we'd say, well, that was 500 years ago. Mm-hmm. But we're talking a very fast pace and trajectory of the measurable clampdown on religious liberty, rights of conscience, and the expression of our faith in the public square. And I think that this has enormous ramifications. We are living through something very big in this regard.
What are some of the important topics today when it comes to religious liberty, when it comes to our freedom, that we should be giving serious consideration? You're there in the heart of it. You're there in D.C. and on top of all these things. What are the things that we really need to be giving much more thought?
Well, I have to say that if someone had you know, just casually said to me, you know, at breakfast, lunch, dinner, etc., you know, what is the most important issue facing Christians in the 21st century? You know, from a perspective of Washington, D.C., you know, is it higher taxes? Is it more regulations? Is it the international security or foreign policy situation? And by the way, all those things are enormously important indeed. But I would, with confidence, answer that the most pressing that the most important issue for American Christians at this time is the measurable crackdown on religious liberty and conscience. That is true on campuses. It is true in the hiring process in the nonprofit sector. It's true of the hiring process in the for-profit sector. We have seen literally dozens and dozens of examples of men and women of faith who have expressed a biblical view of marriage, a biblical view of God's design for human sexuality, the biblical importance that they place on the nuclear family. And these people, our brothers and sisters in Christ, many of them have paid a real price, which should never have been the case in our beloved country. And in fact, the author of the Constitution, the primary architect of the Constitution, was James Madison. And Madison wrote at length about this very issue. And in fact, Madison wrote a now too little known, but a very important letter to a Lutheran pastor in New York State and expressed in no uncertain terms how important it was that the church be able to be the church and how important civil society, faith, morality were to the wonderful functioning of our government and of our country.
What, when it comes to the family, what are the issues that affect the family the most? What are the issues that really are going to affect the family, the home?
Well, may I say that the imposed redefinition of what a family is, the renorming of what constitutes acceptable human sexuality from God's design, the absolute attack on the nuclear family, the redefinition of marriage imposed by courts or by people in government. You know, we now have 35 states in the United States where homosexual marriage is legal. And when you ask, well, in how many of these 35 states did the residents of those states actually get to vote to change the definition of marriage? The answer, and I kid you not, is less than a handful. These decisions were imposed by state legislatures. They were imposed by federal judges, district or appellate judges. They were the definitions were allowed to change by inaction on the part of the Supreme Court. So I think it is fair, more than fair, to say that if there are people listening who got up one day and thought to themselves, no, wait a minute, I didn't vote to change the definition of marriage. I didn't vote to change one of the central meanings of the central institution that God gave to us. I mean, as Christians, we believe that we cannot understand marriage apart from the biblical view of how Christ views the church. So, I mean, these are extremely deep waters, and I can say that if someone said to me in the last 200 plus years since the founding of the United States of America, what has been the biggest, most fundamental moral change? I would say categorically the redefinition of marriage. And the attack on the sanctity and dignity of human life. These are very big issues, and they are ones that that do not always transcend politics in a way that people probably think is less than healthy.
When we look at these matters of religious liberty, when our consciences are burdened, when the family loses religious freedom, how does that affect society as a whole?
Well, may I tell you, you have just asked in the public square, without any peer, the most important question in public policy and in American public life. Look, when it comes to the way that we raise little people in the United States from birth to adulthood, we know what works and what doesn't. We know that it's really important that a young person have a good education. And I can say that for all the difficulties with American education, public and private, you know, we see some really hopeful signs. School choice, vouchers, of course, Lutheran schools, parochial schools, religious schools in general, very important. Another issue would be the ability to graduate from high school or a two-year program or college and be able to get a job. I mean, that kind of economic vitality is an absolute must. But without any equal, the most important social policy matter, the most important thing that launches a child onto responsible adulthood and to live well and to live independently is to be raised by a mom and dad. The greatest predictor that a person will live in poverty at some point in his or her life is if they come from a broken home. And I have to say, single mothers and in some instances single fathers, they're doing valiant work. It's not that we in any way look at single parents and judge them or say that somehow what they're doing is anything less than worthy of our total respect and admiration. But if you scramble the egg with regard to the family, if you degrade the importance of fathers and mothers, if you fundamentally redefine the central institution of a healthy country, culture, and civilization, then you have to be prepared for terrible ramifications. The breakdown of marriage, the incidence of out-of-wedlock births in America, the new reality of cohabitation. You know, these are very important trends, and they are rooted in what is the future of marriage and what is the future of family. Show me a country with healthy marriages and healthy families, Andy, and I'll show you a healthy country. And show me a country with broken marriages and broken families, and I'll show you a country that is at least significantly broken.
Lastly, in your opinion, who are the key figures who are taking a stand for our religious liberty and doing so effectively?
May I say, as a Missouri Synod Lutheran, I am not speaking out of turn to say that the Free to Be Faithful campaign, and I would direct people online to this incredible tool, that the Missouri Synod has created a series of educational opportunities, a series of webinars. It's amazing. All the tools, the public policy tools in the arsenal of the Free to Be Faithful campaign and effort underway in the Missouri Synod. It's really a model for being educated about the threats of religious to our religious liberty and conscience. So the Free to Be Faithful campaign, I cannot more highly recommend it. Of course, I'm terribly biased. Focus on the family. You know, our website is terrific, and our ministry, by God's grace, is really, really blessed. You know, the bullseye for us at Focus on the Family is marriage, family, parenting. That's what we're about. Our friends at the Alliance Defending Freedom, they are one of the most effective pro-religious liberty, pro-rights of conscience, legal ministries in the country. So there are a lot of us who are working hard to defend the nuclear family, to defend marriage, to defend the sanctity of human life, to defend conscience and liberty. And I have to tell you, Andy, I am extremely hopeful because I believe that in America, faith and public life go together. And I believe that that in ours and in the next generation, that we will continue in the best sense to be valiant and true to what God's Word teaches us.
And Tim, I have to ask, how are you observing this day of religious freedom, this day of religious liberty?
You know, I have to tell you, I am, at least in part, commemorating and celebrating this day on my knees. I live and work in Washington, D.C., within sight of the Supreme Court and the United States Capitol. I'm thanking God for our Constitution. I'm thanking God for our founding fathers and mothers. I'm thanking God that as a Lutheran Christian, I live in a free and a secure and a remarkable country. I'm thanking God for my pastor and for all pastors and all missionaries and for the persecuted church and for those who have been martyred. I'm praying for my own parish and for all my brothers and sisters in Christ. It's really a day to celebrate one of the greatest blessings we have as American Christians, and that is our religious freedom.
Our guest today, Tim Gegline, Vice President for External Relations at Focus on the Family. Thank you so much for being our guest on Faith and Family today, Tim. It's great to hear from you.
It's really an honor anytime. Be of good cheer and every blessing to you and to you to the great people of KFUO.
Thank you. More great conversations coming up right here on Faith and Family on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
Concordia University, Mequon, Wisconsin, overlooks the beautiful shoreline of Lake Michigan. This serene main campus of CUW is just 15 miles north of Milwaukee with all its vibrant cultural attractions. At Concordia University, Wisconsin, students living by the motto of Inspiration in Action can choose from 69 undergraduate majors, 14 master degree programs, and doctorates in pharmacy, physical therapy, and nursing practice. For more information or to take a virtual tour, visit cuw.edu.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
If you wonder why Planned Parenthood's giving very public support of Barack Obama's efforts to support illegal aliens, let me enlighten you. We've done rock-solid research showing Planned Parenthood has placed 79% of their surgical abortion mills within walking distance of Black and Hispanic neighborhoods. Cecile Richards, president of Planned Parenthood, said, "We commend President Obama for extending much-needed and long-overdue relief to millions of women. We see the difference that access to affordable health care makes for women." By health care, she means abortion, and they're ready to make money from aborting the babies of Hispanic illegal aliens. Of the 10 states with the most abortions, over 60% of them were done on women of color.
Check out Life Issues on Facebook and stay more informed than you've ever been.
This is the newborn radio station, KFUO.
Those were the first words spoken on KFUO. But before those words could even be broadcast, it took a group of volunteers and supporters to cover the cost of constructing our very first radio facility.
On this occasion, we also wish to express our hearty thanks to all Christians who have given or pledged their contributions toward the erection and upkeep of this station.
Since those historic words, KFUO has relied on supporters to bring us through our first 90 years. And KFUO continues to need your support to move forward into our next. Will you prayerfully consider supporting the worldwide outreach of KFUO with a gift today? For a suggested gift of $90 or more, we'll say thank you with a Collector's Edition 90th Anniversary I Lutheran T-shirt. To give your gift, contact Joni or Mary at 314-996-1512. Thank you for your continued support and prayers for Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
Welcome back to Faith and Family. I'm your host, Andy Bates, and enjoying this Religious Freedom Day here on Faith and Family, and have some folks from the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod International Center to help us look at resources and opportunities to help us observe not only today religious freedom, but also to learn about religious freedom throughout the year. Joining me in studio today, Barb Below, assistant to the president here at the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Good morning, Barb.
Good morning.
Good to have you in studio.
Thank you. A chance
to talk about some of these resources.
Great.
Also joining us, David Yao, Director of Public Relations here at the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. David, great to have you in studio today.
Good morning. Thank you, Andy.
Now, there's a campaign that we as the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod have been sharing for a while called the Free to Be Faithful campaign. David, tell us about this Free to Be Faithful campaign. What is it about and what can we learn through it?
Thank you, Andy. Free to Be Faithful began actually back in 2012, and this initiative is an education and awareness effort that the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is fully behind, so that we can equip believers throughout our church to understand and be active on issues related to life, to liberty, religious liberty, and the protection of marriage. And these are things that we're often hearing about these days. Many people throughout the day, throughout the week, constantly being made aware of continual assaults on these values that our Lord has given us. And many times we don't know what to do next. Mm-hmm. We don't know what it means. We don't know what's happening. And we'd really like to take some action. This is an opportunity for people to learn more, to make themselves aware, and to share the news with others that have an openness to understand what it is the Bible says about these things and why it matters that we become involved.
So what are some of these resources? What are the things that we would find that would help us to answer these questions?
I'm so excited you asked that. Right now on lcms.org/free-to-be-faithful, there's a wealth of resources that are accessible right now and easily shareable for your friends, people that you work with, anybody that has questions or simply wants to inspire others around them in their church to take action and to be aware of what's happening on all these different fronts. A couple of things that we're very happy to have rolled out just recently, particularly for today and going forward, there's six new resources I'll highlight right now. First off, there's a great Bible study, and that Bible study was actually the culmination of an essay contest for LCMS pastors, and they have some wonderful words in there about life, religious liberty, and marriage, and that's really worth spending some time on. There's so much out there, sometimes you almost don't even know where to start. But if you're Lutheran, Free to Be Faithful is where you want to go. Whenever you go there, you're also going to see several posters. We call them mini posters. And these are really, really neat, whether it's a college dorm room or the church narthex or the youth room in your parish. These are very informative, visually attractive, nice presentations of ways that you can be involved in standing for pro-life causes as a young person, or another one, helping us understand what is it to be a Christian citizen, and how do you balance church and state, and what does all that mean for you as an individual?
Are those the infographics?
That's right. We like calling them mini posters because infographics kind of makes people's eyes glaze over. But you can print them out in color if you like. Otherwise, post them on your blog or on your Facebook or direct people to this website at Free to Be Faithful. There's another one too on marriage, which is the third piece of this triad. Marriage all around us for such a long time has been under attack, under neglect. And this piece shows us a timeline of just what's happened in that institution over the years. I think it goes to the 60s, and it starts with the no-fault divorce laws that slowly started unwinding the sanctity of marriage. And what happened after that to the present day, where we have a complete abandonment of what it means to be married, one man, one woman together for life. And with these resources, we're hoping to encourage people, we're hoping to equip them, we're hoping to inspire them, we're hoping to show them that Lutherans know what they're talking about on this. We have something to say, and it's time to say it.
Very good. All great resources available again at lcms.org/free-to-be-faithful. I like the mini posters or infographics. Those, they're geared toward this generation. Well, those of us who are more used to icons and images more than text heavy material. And well done. Good stuff there. Barb, let's talk about engaging resources for education that help us learn about how to stand for religious freedom.
Yeah, we have a great piece of this initiative that we make available to anyone actually to participate in coming up in March on March 10th at 9 a.m. Central Time. We offer a webinar, and you're able to join that webinar. It's an online video chat program. And on March 10th, we're going to have a speaker, Wesley Smith, and he is a well-known, renowned expert on bioethics. He's going to be talking to us about assisted suicide and euthanasia. And quite honestly, Andy, I see that on the horizon as the next big challenge here in our country and for families having to deal with some very difficult situations. So I encourage people to participate in that webinar. If you'd like to, you could email me at barb.below, B-E-L-O-W, at lcms.org. And I'll get you on that list, or you can contact us through our website at lcms.org, free to be faithful. I encourage people to participate in that. Mm-hmm. You'll have the opportunity to chat, ask questions directly to Wesley Smith, and talk with the experts about this important issue. So it's a great way to get involved.
So that'll be a webinar. So that not only will you be hearing things, but as you mentioned, there's an opportunity to ask questions as
Right. Invaluable opportunity that a lot of people don't have the opportunity to talk to Wesley Smith personally. So I think this will be great for the church to be able to hear him and see what he has to say.
Very good. Any other education opportunities?
Well, in this initiative work, we do have a partner in this effort that we work with, the Alliance Defending Freedom Organization. And they have an excellent opportunity for those individuals in the LCMS who happen to be attorneys, maybe specifically those who are trial attorneys. And the Alliance Defending Freedom Organization offers a legal academy in the summer so that attorneys are able to get specific week-long training about how they can more confidently effectively speak about religious freedoms in their profession. And that's a great opportunity for those who are active in that vocation. And again, if you want more information about that, you can go to alliancedefendingfreedom.org or contact me and I can put you in touch with the right people.
Very good. Barb.below at lcms.org.
Right.
And they can get in touch with you. Both great resources, great opportunities. Thank you both for spending some time talking with us today. I really appreciate your time. And we are going to talk with Eric Stanley from Alliance Defending Freedom Organization here in just a little bit. So listeners, stick around for more Faith and Family as we talk about religious freedom right here on Worldwide KFUO. Thank you so much for being my guest today.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Mark Hawkinson with an invitation for you to join me over the weekday noon hour for Moments of Assurance, your lunchtime spiritual recipe. You'll enjoy encouraging scriptures, a bit of Bible history and trivia, news items, humor, the kids' corner, and more, all mixed in with faith-strengthening sacred music, a blend just right for your midday hour. So join me, won't you? That's Moments of Assurance over the weekday noontime hour here on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
Finding just the right partner is a blessing when it comes to achieving God's plans. Hi, I'm Rich Robertson, President and CEO of the Lutheran Church Extension Fund. Before taking this position, I worked with LCEF in my home congregation. It was a joy to find a true Lutheran partner that understood our unique needs as we built a school and welcomed new families into our church and community. I hope you experience that joy too. Visit lcef.org to find out how your ministry can become empowered in its kingdom work.
Perhaps you're a regular worshiper at the church of your choice, or maybe it's difficult for you to get to church on Sunday morning. Either way, you'll benefit from our live worship broadcasts each week on Worldwide KFUO. At 8 a.m. Central, the first service comes from Trinity Lutheran Church in Edwardsville, Illinois, where Reverend John Shank serves as pastor. Late worship begins at 10:45 from Village Lutheran Church in Ladue, Missouri, where Reverend Dr. Kevin Golden is senior pastor. Sunday mornings, it's the message of salvation through Jesus Christ on Worldwide KFUO.
Welcome back to Faith and Family. I'm your host, Andy Bates. Happy Religious Freedom Day. It is a good day here in studio. Lots of great topics to discuss. And joining me by phone now, Eric Stanley. He's senior legal counsel and director of Church Project at Alliance Defending Freedom. Eric, welcome to Faith and Family today.
Hi, it's great to be with you.
Thank you so much for taking some time to talk with us about Alliance Defending Freedom and religious liberty today, and for the work that you're doing for standing up for religious freedom in our country. Tell us about your work with Alliance Defending Freedom.
Well, Alliance Defending Freedom is a religious legal ministry, and we are dedicated to protecting religious freedom, the sanctity of human life, and the traditional family. And we do that through strategy with other organizations and like-minded attorneys, litigation, where we litigate cases on those three issues. We train lawyers and law students. We've trained over 2,000 attorneys through our legal academy that happens once a year every summer. We've trained a number, hundreds of students, law students, through our Blackstone Legal Fellowship, who've gone on to clerk for federal courts across the country and become involved in the law and transforming the culture of the law. And we're engaged in training college students as well through our collegiate academy that happens every summer. And then we also fund cases in these areas too. So really, the best way to describe Alliance Defending Freedom is the way one of our founders did, the late Dr. Bill Bright, and he said our mission is to keep the door open for the spread of the gospel, and that's what we do every day.
And that's no small task as the landscape continues to change. What are the important topics today in this country when it comes to religious liberty that we should all be giving serious consideration, especially on this day, Religious Freedom Day?
Well, and that's an excellent question, and I think it may be surprising to some to understand that religious freedom is definitely under attack these days. And on Religious Freedom Day, it's important to remember the importance of religious freedom. But I think probably one of the major issues that we find ourselves in today is involved in the right of conscience of people of faith. Basically, what that boils down to is the right of people to live and to share their faith freely. And that comes up in a number of different circumstances. One of the most famous circumstances involves the Obamacare decisions, and we were pleased to represent Seneca Lumber Company in the companion case with the Hobby Lobby case that went up to the U.S. Supreme Court that really protected the right of people of faith, business owners, to abide by their faith when they do business. But a number of other cases are going on across the country, and they're really related to what are called non-discrimination ordinances that have been used over the years, have been amended to include prohibitions against discriminating in employment, in places of public accommodation, against the categories of sexual orientation and gender identity. We have a number of cases involving those where basically business owners, church members, people of faith, are seeking to abide by their faith in their business. The case involving a New Mexico photographer who was fined over $8,000 for refusing to participate in and photograph a same-sex ceremony. The florist in Washington State, Baronel Stutzman, Arlene's Flowers, who stands to lose her entire business and her entire house, even personally, because she wanted to abide by her faith and not use her artistic abilities to be involved in a same-sex wedding. A masterpiece cake shop in Colorado, a cake maker who did not want to use their artistic talents to be involved in a same-sex wedding ceremony and was told by the state of Colorado that he had to be re-educated to not discriminate. And the list goes on and on. A t-shirt maker in Kentucky who was approached and did not want to print t-shirts for a gay pride parade. The list goes on and on, and I think we're seeing an increase in these as really the institution, the redefinition of marriage to include same-sex couples rolls out in different states in the wake of the Supreme Court's decision a couple years ago. We're starting to see more and more of these kinds of right of conscience cases. And I really think that it's going to start to include religious organizations and even the church itself, and not just the people inside the church. So that's one of the major issues that we're focused on in the coming years.
When, and I had the opportunity to talk with Tim Gegline about this a little bit ago, when religious liberty is lost, when especially when the family is seems to be losing, or as you mentioned, Christian business owners or religious people of faith who own businesses, when they lose those religious liberties, those freedoms, how does that affect society as a whole?
Well, it's detrimental in its impact to society because one of the things that we've seen, and basically what I've described, and I'm sure what Tim Gegline was speaking about too, is, you know, kind of this idea that seems to be taking hold in the culture and in the court systems that what I call sexual liberty trumps anything, including religious liberty. The problem with that view is that religious liberty is enshrined in the First Amendment to our United States Constitution. It's that important. It's our first freedom. And when religious freedom is subordinated to sexual liberty or any other concerns of that nature, what we have is not the free exercise of religion. What we have is the government compulsion and government punishment of people of faith for doing nothing more than simply abiding by their faith. And especially in the areas of these non-discrimination ordinances, you know, it is a cornerstone of Christian thought and belief that certain sexual behaviors are immoral and sinful. That's not going away, but yet now we have the government saying that it is unlawful for people of faith to stand by and to abide by that belief in their business, in their dealings, in the public square. Even the New Mexico Supreme Court, in its opinion, when it talked about this photographer who was fined over $8,000 for not being involved in a same-sex ceremony, they upheld that fine, and they said that the compromise of religious beliefs was the price of citizenship. That was their take on the whole thing. And we as a society suffer detrimentally when we subordinate the free exercise of religion. That's not freedom. The government did not give us free exercise of religion. It recognized it as a God-given right, but yet the government is seeking to try to take that away today. And that will affect people of faith all across this country in innumerable ways.
What I find interesting in all these cases that you mentioned is that someone was simply refraining from participating in something, from providing a service in a way that that burdened their conscience.
That's right. It's not that we have business owners who are lining up and demanding the right to discriminate.
Right.
You know, it's the fact that they're saying, I have a right to my religious beliefs, and I just want to be left alone to follow those religious beliefs. I mean, in the case of Arlene's Flowers in Washington State, you know, when the word had gotten out that the same-sex couple had sued her and that the Attorney General of the state of Washington was suing her for refusing to do the floral arrangements for this wedding, there were about eight other florists literally right down the street from her who offered to do that wedding for free. So, you know, it's not as if you have, again, you know, business owners that are saying, I want the right to discriminate. They're saying, no, instead, I want the right to just peacefully abide by my religious beliefs. And we're at a phase now where the government is actively telling people of faith, you cannot do that. And that raises a huge right of conscience issue for a lot of Christians.
What are some of the successes that you can share? We've certainly been talking about the things that are that we're facing right now. Have there been some successes, that you can share today that would be encouraging?
Well, absolutely. And I think one of the biggest successes is to point to the Hobby Lobby case from the U.S. Supreme Court that upheld the right of people of faith to abide by their religious beliefs, to not be compelled to engage in activities that they find inherently sinful. And I think that, you know, we're going to try to build upon that success because I think that we still have the right enshrined in the First Amendment. And, you know, the court systems, we're going to battle this out over the issue of how does religious freedom play out in this kind of new day that we find ourselves. But ultimately, we are seeing some success. And so we're going to continue to fight. And I guess probably the biggest encouragement that I could share for folks is, you know, the fact that we still have the ability to fight this issue, and we still have the ability to assert our First Amendment rights in the court systems and in the legislatures and the halls of Congress to have those rights protected. And that's why it's important, why, you know, why our founders named us what they did, Alliance Defending Freedom, which is, you know, we all have to stand together as an alliance to protect religious freedom, because if we don't, then we're going to start seeing the door shut for the spread of the gospel, for people to freely live out and share their faith.
Just a few minutes ago, Barb Below here at the Lutheran Church of Missouri Synod mentioned some education opportunities that are available from the Alliance Defending Freedom. Can you share with us a little bit about those, what those opportunities are for, especially for lawyers?
Yes. excuse me. In fact, we have, as I mentioned earlier, a legal academy that happens every summer. And it is a phenomenal opportunity to get allied with ADF for attorneys to really become part and parcel of what we do. We've trained over 2,000 attorneys throughout the years, and basically we will, if you're accepted at the academy, then you come, you get trained on how to do these issues, how to litigate these cases, and you promise to give 450 pro bono hours in service to the body of Christ over a three-year period. And we will rely upon local attorneys in the cases that we file, either as local counsel or to handle those cases themselves, if they're willing and available to do that. So I would urge any attorney, Christian attorney who's interested, go to alliancedefendingfreedom.org. You can find out information about the Legal Academy there, how to apply. There is still room for this summer coming up in July. And it is a phenomenal opportunity to be involved in really protecting religious freedom in your own community.
For those of us who are not in that that work, what is your encouragement to us? What can we be doing for the rest of us lay people? What can we be doing on a daily basis or in our regular vocations that can help us take a stand for religious freedom?
Well, I think the main thing is to continue to live out your faith on a day-to-day basis. Do not be, you know, kind of coerced or scared into living out your faith on a daily basis. And if you're confronted with an issue where you feel that your faith is being restricted, call ADF. That's why we're here. All of our representation is free of charge, and we exist to protect the right of people to live out their faith freely, to keep that door open for the spread of the gospel. And so that's one thing I would say. Live out your faith freely. Don't be afraid in this day and age we find ourselves in. Get involved. Be aware of what's going on. We have a resource called the Alliance Alert. It's a daily digest of cases and issues involving religious freedom, sanctity of life, and marriage and the family that come out. It comes out in email form every day. It's a good prayer prompter for people to understand what is happening and how to pray. And then we can always use your support to be involved, financial support, prayer support. So all that can be found on AllianceDefendingFreedom.org. And what we need, more importantly, is we just need to ally together to protect religious freedom. We're going to have to stand together in the coming days, and we need everybody to be a part of it.
Eric, what is... In your profession, in the work that you do, what is at the heart of why you do what you do, and what have been the joys in your work with the Alliance?
Well, I think the heart of it is the ability to use the legal talents that God has gifted us with to protect the right of people of faith, to protect the spread of the gospel and life and marriage. And I've just been privileged. I've been doing this for 15 years now, and I've been privileged to be involved in a number of different cases across the country involving religious freedom, and to see what can happen. Just as an example, when you protect the right of a church to hold a Good News Club or a sidewalk Sunday school in their own community, and they've been told by the community that they can't, by the government. And then to see after the lawsuit's concluded, then the church being able to do that work and to see salvations happen as a result of that, and to know that you had a hand in that is incredibly valuable. It's incredibly rewarding to see that. And just to know that we have the God-given rights and freedom, that we live in a country where we can stand in the courtrooms of America to protect religious freedom. There are many countries across the world where that just simply can't happen. And so we are incredibly blessed. And we have to take advantage of those things. But that is incredibly rewarding to see God at work in those circumstances through the law to protect the rights of Christians.
Well, I know that you all are doing outstanding work in helping protect and defend religious freedom. Are there other key figures, in your opinion, who are taking a stand for religious liberty and who are partnering with you in taking the stand?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, I mean, you know, we're not in this alone, and we are an alliance. And so we're allied with other like-minded groups across the country. You know, American Center for Law and Justice is one, and Liberty Legal Institute in Texas is another. And I mean, the list could go on and on with other smaller groups across the country and different organizations that are a part of protecting religious freedom. You know, even groups like Family Research Council in Washington, D.C., and, you know, I will say that the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod has become one of those allied groups that has been incredibly valuable and important relationship for ADF to have. So I think we are looking to ally with anybody and everybody who wants to stand together to protect religious freedom, the sanctity of life, and marriage and the family, because, you know, just take it from my perspective, there's more than enough work to go around for all of us.
Well, I certainly want to point people back to those resources that you mentioned earlier, to the website, so that we can find out more about, as you mentioned, the education opportunities and the resources for laity as well, and to encourage us. The website again?
The website again is alliancedefendingfreedom.org, alliancedefendingfreedom.org. If you're interested in that daily email digest I mentioned, you can go to alliancealert.org and sign up there. It's free of charge. So, but you can get to all of that through alliancedefendingfreedom.org.
Very good. With a few minutes left, thinking back over the last, well, you've been with ADF for 15 years, you mentioned earlier, I believe. Some stories that I know we talked about success stories earlier, and I've looked through some of the stories on the website as well. Stories that stand out that really are at the heart of what Alliance Defending Freedom is all about. Stories of successes. You know, I enjoyed reading the story of the college student in the speech class and other stories. For you, what are the stories that really stand out?
Well, I think some of the stories that stand out are some of the cases that I've been privileged to be a part of. I remember early in my career representing a church that wanted to locate in a town that really was full of spiritualists and mediums, and they really wanted to reach out to these people with the love of Christ, and the county told them that they could not. So we were able to sue the county and get the right of that church to locate in that town. It was the very first Christian church ever in that town since it was established in the 1800s. And they've already been seeing people come to Christ as a result of their presence there in that town. You know, I've been privileged to represent some Good News clubs who've been denied access to the public school systems in different areas, and then to see victories there where the Good News Club is able to get into the school system after school, to have those Good News clubs where they present the good news to the children and to see the salvations as a result of that. Students who want to have student clubs. I remember a case early on in my career where a girl wanted to have a student club, a Fellowship of Christian Athletes club, and was told she couldn't do so. We were able to win her the right to do that, and that club became the largest club on campus with students coming to Christ every day. You know, and it just goes on and on from there to churches a church in Montana that we represented who spoke out on the marriage amendment in their state and faced opposition because they didn't register with the state as a political committee and were threatened with fines and sanctions as a result of that. And we were able to get that overturned and protect the right of that church to speak out. Even the Vizar case. I represented a church here in Phoenix whose pastor was criminally convicted for ringing the church bells in violation of the noise ordinance. And we were able to represent the pastor to get the noise ordinance declared unconstitutional, have his conviction overturned. It goes on and on and on. And I mean, you know, these are people who are just freely living out their faith, peacefully going about their daily existence, what God has called them to do, have been confronted with issues, and ADF has been able to be there for these people to really protect their right to live their faith peacefully in their own community. And I think the result has been significant, because as the gospel goes forward, as people are changed, society benefits correspondingly. And as the gospel is restricted, society suffers and declines. And so we're just pleased to be able to be here to help keep that door open for the spread of the gospel.
You've mentioned several cases around the country and some locally where you are. If someone thinks that they're in a situation where they need legal help, what can they do?
It's very simple. Again, the website is alliancedefendingfreedom.org. You can contact us through there. And we have a web page where you can kind of put in and get routed to our intake people. You can also call us on the phone. Our phone number is there on the website. It's 800-835-5233, 835-5233. We have intake people and attorneys who can evaluate the situation and see if there's something we can do to help. And again, because of the sacrificial giving of our ministry friends across the country, we are able to do all of this representation free of charge, because most of the people who we represent would not have the resources to go and hire an attorney in a law firm to take on their case. And that's why I think God has raised up ADF at a time like this, to enable people to have someone to turn to when their faith is threatened. So I would just encourage folks, feel free to contact us. That's why we are here. We want to stand together with you. You're not alone. God has raised up people to be together with you when that crisis of faith comes.
Great resource. Again, alliancedefendingfreedom.org. You can find those resources and lots of great news on there as well, and find out more about Alliance Defending Freedom. Our guest today, Eric Stanley, Senior Legal Counsel and Director of Church Project at Alliance Defending Freedom. Thanks so much for being our guest today on Faith and Family, Eric.
Oh, thanks so much for having me. It's been great to be with you.
Oh, you bet. God's blessings, and thanks for all the work that you're doing.
Thank you.
If you would like more information on any of these resources, you can find them with the archive of today's program on our website, kfuo.org. Go to the archives or on-demand section and look for Faith and Family. It should be up by tomorrow. You should be able to find those resources. You should find the archive of today's program so you can download it. You can listen to it online, share it with friends on social media. It's a great idea. And we'll also provide links to those resources we mentioned, both alliancedefendingfreedom.org. And lcms.org/freetobefaithful. You can go check those out today online, or you can find them with the archive of the program later on. Should be up by tomorrow on our website, kfuo.org. It has been a joy to spend this Religious Freedom Day with you, and we have more great programming coming up in just a little bit. Thy Strong Word, right here on Worldwide KFUO with Pastor Whedon, as studying God's Word today. Hope you can stick around for that and more great programming at Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
Listen to Faith and Family Monday through Friday at this time. Faith and Family is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is needed for Faith and Family to continue. Our address is 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can contact us on the web and download Faith and Family at kfuo.org. Worldwide KFUO, on the air, online, and on demand.